Please take your Bible and turn with me today to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And in your program is a study guide of our message for today. Please pull out that study guide and plan to use it. As today we're in week number 3 of this series. And today we're going to be talking about don't stop believing when working. Don't stop believing when working. And today we're going to be looking at people who had one of the longest careers of any careers on this earth, and that is shepherding. Did you know that shepherding was one of the first jobs? Do you know that, you know, Abel was a shepherd? Remember Cain and Abel? Cain killed Abel. Do you know that Abel was a shepherd? All throughout history, shepherds are in the Word of God. I mean, the Bible tells us how that Abraham was a shepherd, how that Jacob was a shepherd, Moses was a shepherd, and David was a shepherd. I mean, there have been many, many people in the Word of God who were people that did this type of work. They were shepherds. And today we're going to be looking here in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at a group of shepherds. And these shepherds are going to tell us a whole lot about how to not stop believing when it comes to working. You know, your work matters to God. And really today, I hope that's what you leave with today. I really hope that you understand that your work matters to God. We're going to see God intricately involved in the work of these shepherds. God wants to be intricately involved in your work. And we're going to look at that today here in Luke chapter 2. Now, so far we've talked about don't stop believing when doubting. We've also talked about don't stop believing when stressing. And now, as I said today, we're going to talk about don't stop believing when working. And then next week, we're going to be wrapping up 2010, and we're going to be ramping up for 2011. And as we look at the final message in this series, we're going to look at Simeon and Anna. And we're going to see two people who truly depict don't stop believing when waiting. Simeon and Anna. I've never preached on those two people. I'm excited about it next Sunday. But today, as I said, we're going to talk about the shepherds. Now, basically what we're doing is we're going through verse by verse Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. We're going pretty much line by line, sometimes word by word, and for sure verse by verse as we walk through these two incredible chapters. Now, today we're going to read Luke 2, 1 through 20. In our home, every Christmas, we gather as a family. And before we open the gifts and things like that, we together read this passage. We take our family Bible and we literally pass it around, okay? And we divide it up depending on how many are there. And we'll all read a few verses of Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20. And also then we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. It's always a special time together as a family. And so let's read together Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Here the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be
to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And there came with haste, and they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Don't stop believing. Did you know the word believe is used 273 times in the New Testament? Over and over again, the Word of God tells us to believe. The Bible tells us, specifically we're focusing on the New Testament, okay? But also the Old Testament tells us, never, never stop believing. Never stop believing. And when we come to Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, we find people that never stopped believing. And every one of them believed. And particularly today, we're going to look at these shepherds. And how these shepherds, listen, they never stopped believing. This passage focuses on the shepherds and how they believed when working. When working. Now, today as we think about shepherds, let me just kind of give you the backdrop a little bit to this passage and why it's such a significant passage of Scripture. Now, for you to understand this, you got to understand a little bit about shepherds. I've got a few pictures here of some shepherds just to give you some idea of what that must have been like. Earlier, I told you this was like one of the first jobs. Remember? Okay. Cain and Abel. Remember that? Abel was a shepherd. So this career, if you will, has been around from the beginning. And even today, there are shepherds. If you go to Israel, there are shepherds there. You will see the shepherds there. It's quite an incredible thing when you think about it. Now, the important thing to note here about this is the announcement that's being made. What is being announced here? What is being announced is that the Messiah has come. Luke 2, verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So the Messiah has been born. Emmanuel, God with us, has arrived. Now, after a baby's born, what do? You begin to make what? The announcement, right? That's what parents do. They make the announcement. You know, these days, a lot of people, they put it on Facebook. That's one of the first ways to get the word out. You know, it's a big deal when a baby's born, right? So the question comes down to who is going to be the first one to find out about the Messiah? Who is going to receive the message of the most important birth of human history? Who's going to first get that word? The answer is the shepherds. The shepherds. Now, let me tell you something, folks. This was a stunning, absolutely stunning thing to occur. I think it's interesting how the shepherds, even in verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. It was told them. It was told them concerning this first child. I mean, in other words, it was something significant that they were the first ones to find out. That why were the shepherds the first ones to find out? Let me give you a couple of things I think that are pertinent to this. And they're both found in verse 10 and verse 11. It says, "And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be," listen, don't miss this last part, "which shall be to all people." You see, this announcement was an announcement that was coming, and it was supposed to be given to all people. Because Jesus came for all. He didn't just come for some elect group or whatever. He came for all. Jesus Christ gave his life for all. Now, what's important about that? What's the relationship between all people and shepherds? Well, let me tell you what the correlation is. Shepherds were the most, listen, the most despised people in that day. I mean, they were not a respected group of people. Yes, it started out very respectfully. When you think about it, Abraham was a shepherd, and Moses was a shepherd. But over time, over those first centuries, slowly but surely, being a shepherd became quite a lowly task. I mean, they were not respected people. They were considered unclean. They weren't able to even come in and worship. They weren't trusted people. They were pretty dishonest group of people. They weren't even allowed to legally testify in a court of law. I mean, these people were not considered, you know, what you'd call an esteemed group of people. I mean, they were the lowly people of that culture. I mean, you would not have wanted your daughter to grow up and to marry a shepherd. I mean, it's just not something you aspire to in life. And yet, Jesus wanted it to be known, I came for all people. I came for all people. See, the announcement wasn't made to the priests. The announcement wasn't made to the religious leaders. The announcement was first made to the shepherds. To the shepherds. It's kind of like yesterday. You know, we had a good-sized group from our church go out yesterday morning and cook breakfast at a shelter. And we had a group of people go down and minister to the homeless. You know why? Because we want the people of our city to know that Jesus came for all people. And it would be just like the announcement coming that Jesus has come, and the first place it gets announced is at the shelter. Amen? Not a Capital Baptist Church, not to Pastor Steve Reynolds, not to President Obama, not to the Pope or anybody else, okay? The announcement came to the shepherds. To the shepherds. See, God is concerned about all people hearing the good news of the gospel. He's concerned about every single people group. That's why our church has got to reach all types of people. Every type of person. Because Jesus Christ came for all people. And he wanted it to be known. I mean, these shepherds, the whole culture, you all look over here and you think they're nobodies. God was saying they are somebodies to me. They are somebodies to me. Think about it. Here's another picture of a shepherd here, okay? Got, I think, three of them. Number two is found in the next verse, verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, I think there's a second reason that this announcement was first made to the shepherds, and that is because of the relationship between the idea of being a shepherd and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. See, there's a direct correlation between these two, the whole idea of shepherds. And Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, over and over again, speaks of himself in these terms. He called himself the Good Shepherd. He called himself the Chief Shepherd. See, as the Savior, one of the analogies that he would use was this whole idea that, that he was a shepherd. John chapter 10 goes into great detail about that. It talks about the fact that he laid down his life, just like a shepherd. You know that at nighttime, a lot of times that the different shepherds would bring their foals of sheep together as a group. And what they would literally do is they would lay down on the ground at night to go to sleep, and they would form a circle around the sheep. Why? They were laying down their life for the sheep, meaning they were going to make sure none of the sheep got out and nothing bad, like lions, like David referred to as a shepherd, lions and bears, and as he talked about David and Goliath as a shepherd, how he fought off the lions and how he fought off the bears, that they were going to make sure none of these lions and bears got in to get their sheep. They would literally lay down their life for the sheep. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Isn't that powerful? That is incredible. Even when you look at Abel, I mean, Abel, you know, he died. And in Hebrews chapter 11, in the Hall of Fame of Faith, talks about how the blood of Abel speaks. You know, the whole idea of the blood, Leviticus 17 says, the life is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The whole idea of sacrifice, all tied in with the shepherds. Fascinating stuff. God's very intentional about what he does. Did you know that? He is so intentional in the way he operates. I just love it. Okay, and I could do a whole sermon just on that. But let's move on. Let's talk about top of page two, how to believe when working. How to believe when working. Now, what we want to do today is we want to look at the belief that these shepherds had in working, and then we want to ingrain that into you and me when it comes to our work. And we want to see here that our work matters to God. What we do with our lives matters to God. So don't stop believing. Well, how do you demonstrate that? Number one, you work diligently. You work diligently. One of the ways you show that you don't stop believing when it comes to working is you are a diligent worker. Look at verse number 8. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds, here they are, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. What do we see here? The shepherds were attentive to their work. I love that statement there. It says they were keeping watch over their flock by night. See, this was a 24/7 job. I mean, another reason they couldn't go and participate in the worship, not only were they considered unclean by what they did for a job, but also it'd be like maybe a truck driver or something like that, somebody that was on the road constantly or whatever. I mean, this was a full-time responsibility. I mean, they were busy 24/7, day and night. And it says they were keeping watch over their flock by night. Now that word watch means to guard, to guard. It means to protect. It means to fight for. I mean, they kept watch over their sheep by night. They were attentive to their work. They were attentive to their work. You see, 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12 just talks about the importance of work, and how the Bible says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, this is Paul talking, and he's talking to this church in Thessalonica, and he says, you know, when we were with you, we gave a commandment, and that commandment is this: if any, listen, would not work, neither should he eat. Do you understand that if a person can work and they're not willing to work, that we're not to even feed them, the Bible tells us? Now, it doesn't say if a person cannot work. I mean, if a person has some type of issue or problem or whatever. Yes, we're to try to minister and to help out in that area, okay? But if a person is just lazy, and there's a lot of lazy people out here, by the way, okay? A person is just lazy, and they're not willing to work, and they don't have a work ethic in their life, the Bible says, neither should he eat. I mean, Genesis chapter 3 tells us that when work came into bearing, that we were to sweat, the Bible says, to earn our food. That was all part of God's design, that there's a correlation between work and eating, that we're to sweat. And he says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Isn't that a powerful word? They're walking among you disorderly. See, lazy people are out of order, the Bible says. They're out of order. We hear there's some among you that are walking disorderly. They're working not at all. And what do? They become busybodies, don't they? This is true of church life. You know who are the biggest gossipers in our church? People that aren't doing anything, okay? Because when people get in the game and start doing something, you find out how hard it is, okay? And you're a little bit nicer to people, okay? Because you know what it's like to be in the ring, okay? You know, today when the Redskins beat the Cowboys, you know, there's going to be all these fans up in the stands, you know, and they're going to tell, you know, everybody what to do and how to do it, but none of us are going to be down on the field, okay? But we're going to be the experts, aren't we? We're going to be able to tell them just what they need to be doing and how they messed up, okay? And that's how it is in church a lot of times. People just sit on the pews doing nothing, okay? And they end up being busybodies, okay? They end up doing nothing, okay? That was all free, by the way, okay? Verse 12, now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. You just get up tomorrow morning quietly. You owe. Off to work you go, okay? It's just the right thing to do, okay? It's just the right thing to do. Just with quietness. You don't need a 21-gun salute, okay, to go to work, okay? You just get up quietly and you go to work. Because that's what we're supposed to do, folks. That's what we're supposed to do. God requires you to be a worker, not a slacker, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Number one, work diligently. I mean, what has God given for you in life to be attentive to? What are you keeping watch over? What's God given you to do? One of the ways you show you don't stop believing is you're diligent about it. You just do your best at your job. Number two, work fearlessly. There's a lot of fear in work. I know as a pastor, I mean, I deal with fear all the time. Do you know what it's like to lead a volunteer organization? A church is primarily a volunteer organization. I personally believe it's the most difficult form of leadership in the world, okay? Yes, we have some paid staff, okay? And they're not too easy to lead either, by the way. But anyway, we got a great staff here. I'm just joking. Honestly, we got an awesome team here, okay? But when you lead a bunch of volunteers, it can be kind of scary sometimes, okay? And I know in my own job, I deal with fear a lot, you know. And maybe you deal with some fear in your job. And they were kind of afraid, you know. They got one of these divine interruptions. Remember last week we talked about that, divine interruptions? They got one of these divine interruptions. All of a sudden, here they are, just it's nighttime. They're watching over their flock by night. It's just another night, you know. Probably kind of a boring job, wouldn't you think? Just another night, you know, there they are, you know, probably laying on the ground, guarding their sheep, keeping watch over them, and all of a sudden, boom, angel of the Lord comes to them. The glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were so afraid. Are you so afraid today? Is there something going on in your life, in your work, that's making you afraid? The angel said to them, fear not. There it is again. There it is again. Three out of four. Next week, we don't have fear not, okay? But three out of four, what we're looking at, we got fear not, okay? We had fear not earlier when it came to Zacharias, chapter 1, verse 13. We got fear not in verse 30 when it came to Mary, God coming to them and saying, fear not. See, the shepherds were told to not be afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to memorize that verse right there. That verse will do you some good right there. I mean, plan it, write it on the table of your heart. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Isn't that awesome? And that's what God came to these shepherds to say. Listen, don't be afraid. Fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. And the big thing to realize is God not only told them not to be afraid, he told them why not to be afraid. He says, don't be afraid because I got some good news for you. I'm bringing some good news. And I think when I saw that verse, I thought about Romans 8, 31 and 32. What's the background of him saying, don't be afraid, I've got good news? Well, tie it in here to Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for you, who can be against you? Now, don't miss verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, Jesus' coming is kind of a benchmark of commitment when you think about it. The fact that God would leave heaven and come to earth for you and me just shows his commitment. It's the greatest commitment in all the world that God would leave heaven and come to this earth to be our Savior and to be our Lord. And the point is this, if God spared not his own son, but he was willing to deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Don't be afraid, ladies and gentlemen. Because if God is that committed to you that he would give his son, don't you think he's going to help you with your situation now? Don't you think he can help you with whatever you're afraid of today? I mean, that was the good news. Don't be afraid because I got some good news for you. Work fearlessly. Don't stop believing. Work fearlessly. Number three, work obediently. The shepherds received the message and they responded immediately, the Bible tells us. God tells them, okay, here's the deal. I got a sign for you. You're going to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You see, the Bible shows us here the angels left, but so did the shepherds. So did the shepherds. The announcement came, the angel left, but yet the Bible tells us that the shepherds said to each other, because they believed. See, they didn't doubt, they didn't question, they believed with all their heart. And they had a working belief. The Bible says, without faith, without works, your faith is dead. They were willing to work, meaning they were willing to go, they were willing to do, they were willing to respond to the message of God that was given to them. And the Bible says they left, and I love this, how it says that they came, and they came with haste. I mean, they were fast at obeying God. Man, don't delay in obeying God. Be a doer of the word, and do it when God tells you to do it. They went with haste. I mean, they didn't, you know, sit around and say, you know, whatever. I mean, they said, let's go see this thing that God has showed us. They came with haste. They received the message and responded immediately. But did you know when it comes to work, you obey God when you obey your boss? Did you know that? Did you know obeying God and obeying your boss are one and the same? This might shock you, okay, considering who your boss might be, okay? There's some pretty bad bosses out there, okay? But yet the Bible says, servants obey in all things your nice bosses, your competent bosses, your sweet bosses. No, just your boss, your master, according to the flesh, meaning the one that's in the flesh, you know? Not talking about God. We're talking about, you know, the one you have to see tomorrow morning, probably, okay? You obey them. Now, certainly if they tell you to do something contrary to the Bible, I mean, if I went out and told Dirk, who works here on our staff, Dirk, you go out and lie, but Dirk would have to say to me, Pastor, I can't do that. You know, God tells us not to lie, so I can't lie. Okay, that's fine, okay? You don't do that, okay? You don't go sin, okay, for the boss. But anything outside of that, I mean, you have a responsibility to obey your boss. You don't do it with eye service. I mean, maybe your boss is going to be gone this week because it's Christmas. You shouldn't work any less than if the boss is looking right over your shoulder. You don't do it for eye service. You don't do it as a people pleaser, a man pleaser, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, you do it heartily. To who? To the Lord. You do it heartily to the Lord, not unto your boss, okay? Knowing that the Lord is going to, listen, do you know that your work, you say, well, what's my work got to do with Judgment Day? Everything. The Bible says if you do this correctly, you're going to receive a reward from God. But if you do wrong, verse 25, you're going to get wrong, okay? You're going to receive wrong for the wrong that you have done, okay? And by the way, there'll be no respect of persons. There'll be no respect of persons. You obey God when you obey your boss. Number four, work evangelistically. The shepherds shared the good news. The Bible says in verse 17, when they had seen that they made known abroad. I love that word, made known. It communicates the idea that they communicated in an understandable fashion. You know, we need to communicate the Word of God so people understand it. One of the compliments that I enjoy receiving the most, okay, is people oftentimes will tell me I'm understandable. Well, number one, that's because I'm not very smart. Let's start with who you're talking about, okay? But number two, I work really hard. I spend time every day thinking about my message and how I can communicate it so every single one of you can understand it. You know, when you hear somebody speak and they're, you know, and you leave and say, well, what did they say? They're not smart. They just didn't work at preparing their message properly, okay? I mean, the job of a communicator is to make it understandable. And they made known, it means they communicated this in an understandable fashion. We need to communicate the gospel properly and correctly. The shepherds shared the good news. And then on the back of our page, your workplace is your mission field. You understand your workplace is your mission field. God did not call you to go to Africa as a missionary. God did not call you to go to Mexico as a missionary. God called you to where you go every day. And the Bible says that we are to be ambassadors for Christ. You are Christ's, listen, representative in that place. He chose you to be his representative at your workplace. You are his missionary. You are his ambassador. Now you go and spread that word abroad where you go. And then lastly, work cheerfully. Work cheerfully. I love verse 20. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The shepherds returned to their duties with a positive attitude. I mean, they went back. I mean, I don't know about you, but this was probably some very boring work. I mean, they were probably pretty excited when a lion or bear showed up every once in a while, okay? Because overall, I mean, you know, probably wasn't the most exciting work. And, you know, a lot of people have boring jobs. I mean, you know, maybe you have a boring job. But you know what? They had a cheerful spirit about it, okay? They went back to the same boring job, but they were changed people. They were changed people because of the Messiah, because of Jesus. The Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without negativity, okay? Be a light for God. And then your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your altitude in life. Your attitude is so important. People are drawn to people with a positive attitude. People are drawn to that. And the Bible tells us in Titus 2, 9 and 10, in relationship to your boss, that you're to have this kind of testimony. It says, I exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. Listen, to please them in all things. To please your boss, it says, in all things. Not answering again, not talking back. I mean, certainly I hope you can have some open dialogue with your boss or whatever. Maybe you can, I don't know, okay, but that would be nice. But you're definitely not to be disrespectful, okay? Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. Now, why do you do that? Listen to this, look at this statement. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You're to actually adorn. You're actually to show. You're actually to show towards your boss the doctrine of Christ. Isn't that powerful stuff? I mean, that you get every day to be a witness towards your boss, to be an example towards your boss. Your attitude is so important, the Bible says. Listen, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. I love these shepherds. This is my favorite message in this series. I just love them. I love them. And on this Christmas Sunday, 2010, I say to you, don't stop believing when you're working, okay? When you're working, thank God for your job. Be grateful for what God's done in your life. Let's pray.